Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, is that in? From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Why, hello there, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and welcome to the Brouhaha. On today's episode, we will play another game of 20 questions. And I should also announce, this is breaking news, we have a new prize on 20 questions. Because for a couple years, sitting on the prize pedestal, if you will, was the homemade Beastie Boys diorama. But that was won by Todd Perry, who was the first and only person to answer 20 Beastie Boys questions correctly. So here is the new grand prize, and you might want to sit down for this. Are you ready? A hardcover coffee table book celebrating the 25th anniversary of Def Jam. And that book was compiled by our buddies Say Adams and Bill Adler. And that's not all. You will also win a tour program from the Beastie Boys' 1995 Quadraphonic Stereo Tour. And this was the actual program that they gave out during that 1995 arena show. And as a youngster, I grabbed a stack going in, and to this day, I don't know how I kept them in mint condition. Because I was going nuts during the show. I was right up in front. I remember Ad-Rock jumped on top of me during that show. I don't know if I had a backpack on, and maybe I put them in the backpack. I don't think I would have had them on the ground, because there was a lot of moshing and bouncing going on. But somehow, I kept these tour programs in mint condition, and if you answer 20 questions correctly, you will also get one of those. And that was a very odd show, too, because I remember getting knocked onto the floor during Sure Shot. Yeah, that's right. When the Beastie Boys were performing Sure Shot, the crowd acted like they were playing Heart Attack Man. But somehow, these tour programs stayed in mint condition. And then finally, not only do you get the hardcover Def Jam book, not only do you get the 1995 Quadraphonic Stereo Tour program, but you will also get a signed Spalding handball from the King Ad-Rock. Because like he says in Gratitude, things they bounce just like a Spalding. Anyway, all the time people ask me, how can I compete on this? How do I do that, Jim? All you need to do is email me at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. It's that simple. And then it's not so simple answering the questions. Also on today's show, we will speak with music writer Oscar Pasquale. And he shared with us an exclusive 10-minute Beastie Boys interview that was conducted in 2007. And before we get to all of this, you know, before we play 20 questions, before we listen to the exclusive 10-minute interview from 2007, there has been some Beastie happenings since we've been on hiatus. First and foremost, there is an Adam Yauch Park in Brooklyn. I have not been there yet. I hope to go there sometime this summer. And I actually want to bring with me my basketball and my boombox. I want to play basketball in Adam Yauch Park while listening to the Beastie Boys. And if you guys want to come along, maybe we could have a three-on-three game. Maybe we could run full court. And I'm hoping that there's a basketball court in Adam Yauch Park. It would make sense. And I've seen Google Maps, but I haven't done this satellite picture where you actually see the images of Adam Yauch Park. So I'm banking that there is a basketball court there. And if there is, please just either tweet me or email me. I'm at Jim Shear, and then you could email me beastiepodcast@gmail.com. Also, Mike D and Ad-Rock are writing a Beastie Boys memoir. I'm excited for this. I hope it's really thick. I hope it's thicker than Bret Hart's autobiography. And, you know, everyone would probably use the analogy, I hope it's bigger than War and Peace. But if you've ever seen Bret the Hitman Hart's biography, that thing is huge. And I just want a big, thick book where I can just read pages and pages of Beastie Boy anecdotes. And I hope that, you know, I hope they keep it serious. Because, you know, during the many years of interviews, we never got serious answers. So maybe this will be the time when we get down to the nitty-gritty of Beastie Boys lore. So that is coming up. This just broke on the internet last week. Ad Rock is in talks to appear in a movie called While We Were Young, directed by Noah Baumbach. And the movie is starring Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts. They are a married couple with kids. And then they befriend a younger couple, played by Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried. Amanda and Adam play this young couple, and I guess Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts can't relate to them because this young couple is carefree, and Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts, they have kids. And Ben has a buddy, and his buddy might be played by the King Ad Rock. I don't know if he would appear in the movie for 10 seconds or 10 minutes, and the story that I read said that he is in talks to be in the movie, so it doesn't sound like anything's in stone. And then finally, Mike D has produced a track. The track is called Umberto versus the New Reactionaries, Christine and the Queens Remix with Two X's by Mike D. So here's the deal. Carol Lim and Umberto Leon, they are the designers behind the fashion line Kenzo. So they had the big Kenzo event in Paris, unveiling their spring-summer collection for 2014, and Umberto and Carol asked Mike D to produce a track for this event. And I guess Mike D knows Umberto and Carol through Spike Jonze. And I guess the only stipulation was that Umberto wanted the track to be inspired by the California scene. And Mike D also said that Umberto is inspired by American hardcore a la Black Flag, Bad Brains, and Circle Jerks. So Mike D took that with him into the studio, produced this track that we're about to hear, and it played at the Kenzo event in Paris. We are going to listen to that, and then when we come back, we will have Oscar Pasquale with us. So please enjoy Umberto versus the New Reactionaries, Christine and the Queens Remix by Mike D. We'll be right back.
Yo, check this out. You're listening to the brouhaha.
All right, there you go. Umberto versus the new reactionaries. And now, joining me on the brouhaha, Oscar Pasquale.
What's up, Jim? It is an honor and a privilege to be on the brouhaha with you tonight.
You initiated this.
Yeah, I did, man. Because, you know, I had this awesome audio interview that I recorded with him at the 2007 Gala Event Tour. Just had it chilling for 6 years.
So,
you know, I mean,
you never posted it online?
I kept it to myself like a greenhead, man.
Because the thing is, I hadn't done a brouhaha in a long time. So I did one with Raya last week. And then out of the blue, I got an email from you. And you're like, hey, I got like this 10-minute Beastie Boys interview. You want to have it? And I'm like, yeah. And then you said, if you're looking for someone to talk to, I'd also be on the brouhaha. And I'm always looking for people to talk to. So this worked out perfectly.
For sure, dude. I mean, I saw that latest episode and I figured now would be a good time to reach you.
So I want you to set up this interview. And then, you know, you can give your little glitz and glamour and we'll throw to the world premiere.
All right. So 2007, of course, they went on tour for the mix-up. I had happened to have gotten a gig, my first gig as a music journalist, and was given the opportunity to review a show. And my editor also gave me the option to interview them. And I was like, hell freaking yes. So this was the day after the show I got to go to, I believe, which was Saturday, August 27th, 2007.
So shall we throw to it right now?
Yeah, let's peep it and then we'll talk about it.
Do you have a title? Do you have a title for this piece?
I like to call this Grouch Speaks B-Ball and Other Things with the Beasties.
A lot of people that I've talked to affectionately refer to the new album except as porno music. What do you guys think about that? Is that a matter?
Debbie Downer of this?
I think that we're a very sexy group, and I'm
so you're going with the human rights to the porno?
No, yeah, one extreme to the.
I think we're a very sexy group, and I'm glad that people are willing to celebrate us that way. You know.
Are you guys trying to prove anything with this album, you think, as musicians?
Are we still on the pornography thing?
No. No, just, you know, as your first full instrumental, no samples.
Just seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we're good enough to try to be to prove anything like that. But what he said.
He's trying to make some shit that sounds cool to us.
Yeah. You
know, see if anybody else is feeling it.
Okay.
But I like pornography. I mean,
okay.
Huge fan of the whole genre.
Yeah. I mean, it's this wide open. Yeah. So
that's all of your feelings.
Okay.
I just got you here late. Sorry, I'm Oscar.
You missed the whole beginning part that we did this crazy shit.
You missed some heat.
I'm going to shake my fist at that one. So, did anyone ask you about the Knicks?
Why are you late?
Oh, traffic's insane over here.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Anyone?
This is the first time you've been late for a press conference, or this is a repeat pattern.
Actually, this is the first time I've been to something like this. So,
you come in late, and you start insulting our basketball team.
No, I wanted to ask
this
you.
This is how you start your journalism.
You know the Knicks are in bad shape, but just mentioning their name throws you into a frenzy.
Yeah. I was going to say they're on the up and up,
let's
you know? I mean,
way.
They got Zach Randolph.
It's very
and stuff.
Clear. It's, yeah, right. Like I said, it's very clear, and it's obviously easy for you to say the Bay Area and the Golden State Warriors have a much brighter, more promising present and future than the Knicks. I was a big fan of the B. Diddy dunk.
Jason
he played
Kidd
it myself.
The show tonight.
Hmm.
No.
Jason
Kidd? Really?
Oh, yeah.
I wish Gary Payton was coming. That'd be cool.
Actually, I know someone I can call.
Yeah. Yeah, Gary Payton. Yeah. Well, yeah. Payton, yeah, but you think the glove still listening?
I think it was. Did you have another more sports questions in mind? Tennis or football?
Yeah, what other moves have the Warriors made?
I think they got rid of Jay Rich. That wasn't really that cool.
Yeah,
they sent him to the Bobcats of all.
Yeah, I don't know why get rid of. I'm a Jay Rich fan.
Yeah, I thought the Warriors, you know, were
so
Jay Rich.
Why mess with the formula? Yeah, I don't.
Really I don't understand. But I don't know. How do you
did
guys feel
for Gerald Wallace? Is he?
No, he's actually
Morrison,
still there.
Who did they get from the Bobcats? Morrison or
some young cat? I believe.
I like that guy.
Morrison. I like Morrison.
No, they did not get Morrison.
Yeah.
You guys dig that child molester mustache he's got, or?
Wow, I wouldn't have said it like that.
Yeah. I never thought of it not like that.
I hate his guts now.
I have a soft spot for Morrison because when he was in college, and who did he play for when they lost in Eastern? He was crying all
the time.
Oh,
he played UCLA.
Kept showing the clip of him crying like on the floor. And it was like, soft spot for him, you know. Poor guy. Crying all up on the TV.
I was also at last night's show, and I noticed you guys were talking about a little feud between Ari Markopoulos and Ricky Powell. Can you guys elaborate more on that?
Well, it stemmed from...
It was at our friend Bosco's wedding.
Yes, it was at a wedding, and correct me, you guys, if I'm playing it right, but I think Ricky had kind of put us together to take a photo, all of us, like in one shot in front of the wedding.
The three of us were wearing suits.
And
we were
so
just standing there anyways.
Ari, who was also friends with us and friends with... Like,
no, I think
I didn't know Ari.
Kind of said, let me get a picture of you guys. So
I never met Ari before.
I knew him from Eric, you, whatever, anyways.
When Ari stepped up and snapped a photo, and Ricky started yelling at him that it was his photo.
Ricky wanted to fight him.
Wanted to fight him in front of a church.
Yeah.
He didn't want to fight him, though. He
kind of wanted
so
to fight him. He wanted to fight him.
What does Ricky think about the Knicks this year?
You'll have to ask him.
Oh, okay.
But I
thought you guys were making it or something.
I mean, look, facts are facts. What can you say?
Okay.
I was just wondering what your opinion is on the classification of music into genres. A lot of people are kind of against, you know, oh, these people are punk, these people are hip-hop, rap. What do you guys think about that?
It helps at the record store.
Yeah,
a lot of music does kind of, I mean, some stuff does fall between, but some stuff does.
Well, I was at the record store today, and they had our new record in the hip-hop section.
They put all our stuff in there. They put our punk stuff in the hip-hop section, too, sometimes. Because we're just classified sometimes as hip-hop.
What would you
classify
yourself? Or would you?
I think
mentally hip-hop, smoothed out on the R&B tip.
But I guess I would look at it like we're playing music that's in a few different styles.
Although, see, like, I'd say it's kind of tricky, because, see, I have... My CDs, I have just in alphabetical order, strictly.
What?
Okay. CDs are just alphabetical. But the vinyl, I go categories. I got, like, rock. But then, I've got, like, kind of, like, new wavy, punky rock. And then, that's kind of hardcore is mixed in with that. And then, you know, like, where does that start? Where does it, like, say, Elvis Costello, he's in my new wavy section. Right? But he could be in the rock section. Like, where does rock end and new wave begin? You know? And then, I've got also rock groups, say the band Fancy. They're a rock group, but they're not in the rock section because they got a beat, so they're in the beats section.
Right.
Which is strictly like kind of just like a sample and beats type section. Just for what it's worth.
But then after you sample the record, do you take it out of that section because it's already
No,
been
it stays. I have a lot of records that we've sampled that they stay in the sample section, but I know that they're in the already sampled. I mean, I don't separate the already sampled and the to be sampled. There's me.
How has your fan base changed? Has it changed in the past 10 years, 20 years? Are you still getting the same amount of young kids? Or do you get your old fans from the beginning? Is it?
Laura, tell me about that kid you were talking to.
Oh, yeah, there was this kid was at Santa Barbara. He was like 8 years old, and he was standing like right at the barricade. So I was in a photo pit, and I was just talking to him, and I was like, "So are you a fan?" He was like, "Yeah, man, I love these guys." And I was like, "Oh, yeah. Do you have like favorite albums, favorite songs?" And he was like, "Yeah, I like the hits. The hits are cool, but you know, I think the instrumental shit is rad, and I think it's dope that they do that. I think it's dope that they play instruments. He was like 8 years old. He was adorable.
Was he with his parents or anything? Or
he was just like an older sibling or uncle or something. It wasn't like a dad. It was
right.
He wasn't with that guy from the basketball team,
no.
The mustache.
Adam Morrison.
Right. Oh, no. This is, see how you've maligned his whole career now? Poor guy.
But, so that's kind of...
Although
hard,
it is weird, like, I've noticed on this tour since we've been doing the gala event shows and the regular shows, like, say, in, I don't know, maybe a little less defined here, but, like, in Boston, it was like we did the gala event show and it was at a really nice place at the Boston Opera House, and that show was definitely, like, older, like, people that had grown up their whole lives with us, and then the next night we played the regular show, and that was just, like, the more, like, regular, like, younger, like, hardcore beer drinking, like Boston, you know, have a party, go see the Beastie Boys type crowd. So
okay, yeah, but when we played in Baltimore, right, at this festival.
Balltown.
And I looked down and I seen this guy like right up near the front, crazy hillbilly with like a long goatee crooked up leather hat and like snaggle teeth and like just looking crazy. I'm like, for sure this guy is waiting for the police to come on. The police were coming after us, and I was like, this dude cannot be here to see us. He's like crazy old hillbilly. And we started playing Sabotage, and he was just like screaming.
You know what song he was really into, my man, the hillbilly? He was real into Shake Your Rump.
I was like, same thing as you. Right at the end, I was like, oh, shit.
Well, this guy's the most obsessive fan, and he's like, they mentioned me in an interview.
Wow.
Yeah. No, he looked like he would have been real at home at a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert.
Yeah, he looked like straight up Skynyrd man.
No, I didn't think so. On that note, you guys, you
know,
to get going to the venue.
Jack Daniels
band.
Sorry.
Jackie.
Hi, what's
up? Charlie's brother.
Jerome was waiting for you guys right out here.
And there it is. World exclusive. Beastie Boys, San Francisco, 2007, the gala event era, we'll call it. Here's what I liked about this. I like the fact that you come in late, you ask your Knicks question, and it feels like they didn't hear you. And then a few seconds later, they're like, oh yeah, you ask about our basketball team. I'm like, ooh, they did hear it. So the Beastie Boys are wily like that, because I had a chance to interview them on multiple occasions, and you think that they're not listening to you, you think they're thinking about something else, and then they always come back. So they're always aware of what's going on.
They're sharp.
I just like it because it seemed like they were having a lot of fun with you guys.
Oh, they're totally, like, messing with me, man. And as you can see, like, the sweetheart MCA is, he, like, almost comes to my defense, you know, when he's talking about, like, hey, you know, just mentioning the Knicks throws you guys into a frenzy.
I also liked when the one girl was asking about, she was asking about the genre question, and...
Yeah, I mean, like, how many times have they been asked that, you know?
But... the thing is, I wish I was there because I could have added a nice laugh track, because there were so many classic Beastie gems in there, but not a lot of people laughed. And I'm like, no, that's comic gold right there. Ad-Rock said, well, listen, it helps out at the record store.
Yeah. And then Mike D's little rant about how he classifies his vinyl versus
yes,
his
yes.
CD.
Yes, so, and that was like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to read in the memoir. Because for a while,
know,
like
right?
he take it serious for a second, because he's like, well, it's all alphabetical. And then when does he, what did he say? It was all alphabetical. And then does he have like a new wavy section? I forget.
Yeah.
I mean, we just listened to it. We just listened to it. Now I'm forgetting it already. But, you know, I can just, when I'm listening to it online, I'll just zoom the arrow back a little bit. But I thought that was a quick little fascinating moment into Mike D's record collection. And then... I also like Ad-Rock's reference to Belle Biv DeVoe. hip-hop smoothed out on the R&B tip. That's how he would classify the Beastie Boys' music. And then in this nice 10-minute ditty, you get MCA thinking that a crazy hillbilly wouldn't be into the Beastie Boys' music, but lo and behold, he goes nuts during Sabotage and Shake Your Rump.
I knew going into it that, like, if I asked them serious, like, artsy, like, journalistic questions, they wouldn't, you know, give me good straight answers.
Right.
So I figured I'd talk to them about, like, cool things that they'd want to talk about, like basketball and their friends.
Now, you said, you alluded to the night before that they talked about Ari and Ricky getting into a fight. So did they go into, did they elaborate on that during the first night?
No, the only thing, it really raised my, you know, my intrigue, because they're about to play Ricky's team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, this is a song about friends. And then, you know, they're just talking about all their friends. And they're like, yeah, we even got a couple friends that even got into a fight at a wedding. It's Ricky and Ari Markopoulos. And I was like, whoa, I really want to know more about this fight.
And that was a great story, because I could see that happening. Because, I mean, when you bring up both of those names in Beastie lore, those are the guys that take the behind-the-scenes Beastie photos. So Glennie Friedman, yeah. He takes the beautiful fisheye lens. They're posing in a perfect position. Like, how the freak did he capture this on film pictures? But, you know, Ricky and Ari, they just capture a day in the life of the Beasties. And that's hilarious that Ricky set up the shot, and then Ari's like, oh, there's another day in the life of the Beasties. And Ricky's like, no, this is my shot. So, yeah, I would have loved to seen that. Because I wonder how it resolved itself. Did Ari take the picture? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of left it up to your imagination after that. I was also kind of cut off by the PR lady.
Yeah. Because, and another thing, too, is, or did Ari say, well, all right, I guess, Mike, you move over there, and Adam, you move. Okay, see, Ricky, it's a different, they're in different spots now. Now can I take the picture, Ricky? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, how awkward was the rest of that wedding?
So, now you said you got on MCA's guest list that night?
Yeah, that's an awesome story. That's one of my favorite stories to ever tell. So after the interview, I just went downstairs from the hotel. They were all down there as well in the lobby hanging out, and, you know, I want to give them their space and want to get all, like, groupy on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went outside, actually talked to another one of the journalists that were at that roundtable discussion, kind of doing conversation with him. And, you know, just out pops, you know, Adam Yount for a breath of fresh air. And, you know, seeing him right there, I had to just seize that moment. Like, without even thinking, dude, I dropped conversation with the guy I was talking to. I was like, dude, there's Yount. And I walked over there. And I can't even remember the exact words, but something to the effect of, you know, hey, I just got to express my thanks and, you know, gratitude for everything you've done. Like, you've just been a huge inspiration in my life, and I really need to shake your hand right now. And he was so humbled, and he was cool with it, and we talked. I asked him about Milarepa and why the site's not around. And he told me some stupid, like, internet jerk just totally, like, hijacked it once the rights were, like, down. You know, like, sometimes you have to renew. Yeah. So, like, now they can't even get rights back to Milarepa.org.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
People.
And, yeah, people. So I just went on, we just went on and talked, and afterwards he was just like, hey, man, are you going to the show tonight? And I was like, you know, your guys already, or your PR already hooked me up with, you know, past the show previous night, and they said they couldn't get me in tonight. And he's like, you know what, dude, don't worry, I'll put you on my guest list.
Wow.
Like, what? Adam Yao put me on his personal guest list, man, and my eyes light up, and I was like, oh, man, dude, I can't even thank you enough. Like, I was just really just floored by as just awesome humane activists, you know? And, like, it just really solidified my love for these dudes, man. Like, I carried, like, this torch for them my whole lives, you know? I saw them as heroes.
Yeah.
Actually, like, to finally meet them and, like, not only get that justified, but, like, get that plus more than what you were,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you were dreaming of, man. Like, it was special, dude.
So, and, like, now, around what time was this?
This was in the afternoon, like, a good amount of time before they could decompress and, like, probably hang out in the city before they had to play them that night.
What did you do between... Now, how did you leave Yauk? So it's like, you know, I'll hook you up, you're on my guest list, and you're like, oh, that's... I can't thank you enough. Then what happens?
And then I guess, like, someone flagged him, you know, from inside, and he's like, hey, guys, I gotta go back inside, but it was a pleasure talking to you guys. We're like, hey, man, you know, do what you gotta do, man. Thanks for talking to us. And I don't know if you got that link, but I got a nice photo with Yauk, too.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah,
like,
yeah.
One of my prized possessions.
People will be able to see, man, that when they listen to this podcast.
Yeah, man, that was a special day, dude. And, you know,
so
it made his loss that much harder.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that I love all the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, but sure.
But working with them and seeing how they interact with fans and the people they work with, Yauk, I mean, he was on the same level as them, but he almost took a step down. He's like, all right, these guys are all, you know, I'm going to extend the olive branch to them. He was the one that kind of came down on our level. Because when you're that cool, it's, you know, it's difficult to mix with common folk. And I think Yauk was the best at it.
Yeah. I was reading your essay on the brouhaha about how you're talking about how, you know, Yauk put you on his back, like, throughout your whole life.
Yeah.
That's how I felt throughout that whole day, that interview and just meeting him. I'm like, man, dude, this guy's like, you know, he's putting it out there for me, man.
Because he didn't need, need to, yeah. Because, like I said, was doing the MTV special and I was nervous. I was like, I'm going to do a live show with the Beastie Boys. And he walked past me and kind of, he could have easily, you know, walked to the dressing room, but he walked towards me and he took off his mesh cap and kind of whacked me on the shoulder. And I'm like, all right, I'm good to go now. I'm like, I'm ready to do this. He didn't need to do that, but he did it. And that gave me the juice I needed to do the live Beastie Boys show. So it was stuff like that. And no diss to Mike and Adam, but it seems to me Yauk would go out of his way more, but Yauk was, I mean, he had the big picture inside of his head. You know, he was directing videos, yeah. And, you know, when the album was almost done, he would put together extra songs, and he probably thought of the entire Beastie Empire, and he's like, you know what, fans are a huge part of this empire, so, you know, I got to be good to the fans, because without the fans, there is no Beastie Boys.
Definitely, dude. I mean...
And I liked when Adam read his Yauk speech at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I forget the wording of it, but he said, for those who, you know, rooted us on or cheered for us, you're as much of this. I forget how he said, you're as
part of it as we are.
Yes.
Right.
And I was like, all right,
like,
Yauk.
You know, how many people acknowledge their fans that much, you know?
Yeah. So here's my question to you, Oscar. Yauk's like, here, you're going to be on my guest list. So you have the whole afternoon to kind of like let that marinate. Was there ever a time where you're like, I'm not going to be on that guest list because someone's going to talk to him and he's going to totally forget about it?
You know, of course I had that passing glance of, you know, that doubt. I'm like, oh, no, man. But, you know, Yauk's... It came out of his mouth, dude. I'm going to take it as a man of his word, you know? So I went out there, dude. I took the BART train, you know, paid my life $8 to get my round tripper. And the funny thing was, I went up there. I was thinking he would just put me on, like, you know, the press list, you know, like, from the PR people.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, yeah, I should be on, like, the guest list or the press list. And they're like, you know, we don't see your name. And I felt like such an ass for saying this at the time, but it worked out. I'm like, he lucked under Adam Yauch. And it was under his personal guest list.
Yes.
Yeah, dude, that's what killed me, dude. That was like, oh, this man's a sweetheart. I'll never forget him forever, man.
And you got in.
And I used my photo pass from the night before, too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, man. I was in the pit, and actually, you know, if you checked out those photos, like, those guys are, like, cheesing it up for the camera.
Now, was it a different experience for you to see the Beastie Boys after you had interacted with them?
Yeah, it almost, it felt like, you know, kind of like friends up there, you know? Like, I definitely got a couple, like, looks from Yauch, like, hey, man, what's up? Glad you made it, you know? Like,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, we actually have a similar story because in high school, I wanted to be a VJ merely to meet the Beastie Boys, and you said that you got into journalism because you wanted to eventually meet the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, man, like, you know, I grew up in that precious time in the 90s where, like, MTV was still showing videos.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was like you, like, Matt Pinfield, Chris Booker, like, on 120 Minutes. Like, those dudes were really dropping, like, serious music knowledge on me. And, like, of all the people that I loved, man, were the Beastie Boys. Because my breakthrough record, I know your breakthrough record was Check Your Head, right?
Yes, that's absolutely.
For me, like, my most influential was Ill Communication. Because that came out, what, like, 94?
Yep.
And I was, like, you know, just getting into my teens, like, I was getting out of, like, playing X-Men and Power Rangers. I wanted to be a cool kid, so I want to listen to music now. And my first 5 CDs I ever bought was from those BMG offers where you got 5 CDs for a penny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which ended up getting me in trouble with my dad later on. Like, they get you into a crazy contract, you know, where you have to keep buying CDs.
Yeah.
That's beside the point. So my 5 first CDs as a music fan was, of course, Ill Communication,
mm-hmm.
Soundgarden Super Unknown, Smashing Pumpkins Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, Pearl Jam 10, and Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style. So that's like 90s as shit right there, right?
Now, you, the last episode of the Brouhaha, we had Raya on, who is just turning 30. Uh-huh. You are also 30 years old, which means you would have been a youngin' when all of that came out.
Yeah, man. Oh, definitely. But
if I was your dad, I would be more upset about you getting Doggy Style than you signing up for BMG.
Well, like, my parents are, you know, like, they're Filipino people, man, and, you know, they don't really care for, like, American culture and stuff, so I got to get away with a ton of crazy stuff when I was, like, 12 or 13. I got to watch, like, Pulp Fiction when it first came out, and that was not for my eyes, man.
So
I got to listen to these crazy albums, dude, and, like, what really did it for me, like, was when I got those 5 CDs. And, you know, Snoop was blowing up the same time with Doggy Style.
Mm-hmm.
And what hit me was Short Shot. You know, when he said, gotta say, pull something that's long overdue. Disrespected women has got to be true to all the mothers and the sisters and the wives and friends. Gotta offer my love and respect to the end. And, you know, that was such a huge departure from what I was listening to and what Snoop was saying, man. And I was like, hold up, like, both these dudes are, like, cool in everyone's eyes, but these dudes are, like, respectful and, like, chill.
Yeah.
And I wasn't about really, like, disrespecting others, you know? You know, I was a pretty chill kid. I was like, you know, I think these Beastie Boys are what's up for me, man. And from then on, dude, I just fell in love with everything they put out, you know? I had to get Hello Nasty the day it came out. I saved the receipt, like, posted a photo of it the other day when it was the 15th anniversary.
Yes. And on the last brouhaha, I was telling everyone, yeah, it came out in May, but it came out in July.
July 14th, yes. Man, 1998. Yes. Yeah, that was the summer break before my sophomore year, man. And that summer break was funky. It was on point, dude.
Oh, I mean, that album hit at the right time. And I just think, I still think Intergalactic was the best lead single they ever put out.
That was a stunner, dude. When that came out, like, how many people heard anything like that?
Because I remember, like, sadly, the Beastie Boys never get any love on hip-hop radio, but Intergalactic was premiered on our modern rock radio station, and I heard it, and I was like, whoa, holy crap, wow! And I'm like, they're still doing it for me! Still! So you got Hello Nasty, and then, obviously, To the Five Boroughs, the Mix-Up, Hot Sauce Committee. When did you go back and revisit Check Your Head, Paul's Boutique, and License to Ill?
Okay. So right after I got Hello Nasty, that kind of just like solidified it for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was already in high school.
Yeah.
So right after that, I just picked up like all the other three albums just because I was like, you know, I'm a Beastie Boys fan. I need to have all the albums, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I fell in love with Check Your Head first because it was like a not too distant relative.
Right. Yes. It was a brother of Ill Communication.
Yeah. And then after I fell in love with that, second for me was Paul's Boutique. Because after I got Beastie Boys, and I was like, you know, I'm going to get heavy into hip hop, dude. I'm going to just love hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got just super into everything hip hop, I realized how much of a crazy benchmark album Paul's Boutique was, you know? And how that would just be like the blueprint for making hip hop albums to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really blew, like that to me, and actually De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising, with the amount of crazy samples and like risks that those albums were taking, you know?
Yep.
Really taking hip hop into a different, you know, level.
Couple questions before you leave us, Oscar. First question is, when was the first time that you saw the Beastie Boys?
First time was 2004. They were just they were first going back on tour. It was the Coachella show that year. And I had actually sold my GameCube for that ticket.
And then I think you said it earlier, but your favorite Beastie Boys album is Ill Communication?
I mean, I love them all. Let me say that's my most influential album. Can I say that?
Yes.
Because they're all my favorite.
And then finally, a question I ask a lot on this podcast, favorite Beastie Boys song?
Song. Wow. I would have to go Root Down, man.
Wow. You kick it root down.
Driving bass line, dude, and like, yeah, that came out like, you know, right after the Rashad scene.
And it makes sense because it was on Ill Communication.
Jim, before I leave, can I just say a quick little shout to a couple people?
Yes.
All right. So the only reason I even reached out to you was you know, earlier this year during MCA Day, I was just so hyped to like see everyone's pictures and stuff from like the event, like talk to everyone who went. So I joined the Facebook page there, and then from then on, I got invited to a secret group, y'all, called the Beastie Family. Secret Facebook family called the Beastie Family, man. And these guys are some of the most hardcore Beastie fans. And you know, even my best friends don't love the Beastie Boys as much as me, you know? So, like, I've never really, like, felt that sense of Beastie community.
Uh-huh.
So, like, ever since joining this crew, man, I got my invite from Midwest Marcy Lara, big shouts. Ever since I joined this this crew, man, like, all these people are just posting, like, daily about all this cool stuff that, you know, most of us may know or may not know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all love, dude. Every day, like, just bringing up Beastie stuff to talk about, man. So big up to the Beastie family, man. Secret Facebook family.
It is a secret no more.
You got to know a couple of them to get in.
Yeah, you got to know the password. There's a secret knock. And if you don't know it, you're not getting in. Any more shout-outs?
Yeah, man. Marcellera, Ali B, my man Jeff Rich, Flies Off the Handle, Ben Liflin, Ralph Petrulli, Jay Myers, Saw My Beastie Plant, dude. Like, you guys rock, and I love all y'all. Oh, a couple of dudes who are on your podcast, too, Jason Polk.
Okay, yeah,
Pat
yeah.
McCauley, McCubbie T, he's part of the fam.
Yep.
Yeah, man, just a group of loving Beastie family, dude, and I do this all for y'all.
And if any of this family would like to play 20 questions, just email me at beastiepodcast@gmail.com. And speaking of 20 questions, we are going to play that next. But Oscar, thank you for joining us. You'll need to come back on the brew. Ha ha.
Thank you, Jim. I'm down to come whenever.
Defensively, offensively, team-minded.
Mike's more of like an outside shooter. Adam works a lot on his inside game. I help tighten up the backboards when they're broken. Make sure that the rim is properly attached, glass part.
Well, the weird thing is there was talk of a trade. Just after, yeah. We can't really talk about it because there's a lot of
controversy.
Yeah.
Well, the real issue was who's in the front office. And it was basically some people that I'm not going to mention in the front office. I'm just going to say it. They were about to trade Horvitz for the singer of Creed.
All right. We are back on the Brouhaha, now joined by Pat Poon.
That's me.
Hello, Pat. Now, we should also say that you are kind of the official DJ for Beastie Boys fans all across the world.
Oh, I don't know if I would go and say all that, but...
Well, the thing is, you DJed the Fan Day last year, and then you were at MCA Day this year.
Yeah, that is true. I was at both those functions, and a little-known fact was that prior to the fan celebration, I held my own little, tribute night at, like, a small coffee house here in Teaneck, New Jersey.
And then, Pat, through Twitter, I'm trying to recruit you to be the DJ in my Beastie Boys tribute band.
I'd be more than willing to at least audition for it.
Right, we should, I should go over your place or we should meet somewhere in the city. We should hash things out. And if it feels right, if the chemistry's there, then we should take it to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about logistics and gear, just getting stuff from one place to the other and then, lay down some cuts.
Okay, and you can
jam out, whatever.
And you're good on the ones and twos?
I could carry my own. I got some skills.
Because I don't need you to go crazy with the scratching, but, if you could go from beat to beat to beat to beat, that would be nice.
Oh, I could definitely mix. I mean, you can't mix, you can't really DJ. I don't want to be like that guy, but,
You start off with the So What You Want instrumental, and then I need you to beat match right into Breathe from Fabolous. Could you do that?
I would have to find that track.
No, I got it. I got it. No, could you do...
You have it on. All right, we could talk shop offline, but we could work this out. I mean, if you have the instrumentals, yeah, this could be done.
Okay, so we will we'll work on it, because the thing is, I want to recruit some MCs... all off the grid. I would like to be part of that MC contingency, and I also play guitar so I could do the punk songs. And then I have a bassist,
awesome.
We could find a drummer. So here on the podcast, we have planted the seed for the Beastie Boy tribute act, and we'll see how it goes. But I did have Fredo on the podcast, and he said if he was in town, he'd be down for playing drums.
I did hear that, yeah, and it sounds like you could kill it on the hand drums as well as the kick.
Yeah, I mean, and we wouldn't even have to practice with him. He would just show up that day and he'd be like, yeah, I already know how to play Heart Attack Man and Tough Guy and A Grade on Mojo and all that stuff. So we'll see. But the reason you are here, Pat, is to play 20 questions.
Oh, no. Okay, yes.
How is your Beastie knowledge?
I'd say it's probably more than average.
Okay. Because you sound kind of scared when we were talking during the break.
I've heard a few of the twenty questions in the past, and like I've been able to hang. But then, yeah, there's some like questions that I was like, oh, I would have no idea what that is. Like, but I'm just sort of worried about those. But I sort of forgot about like what the lead of questions.
Yeah, so the first five should be easy, and if you get stumped along the way, you'll have three chances for multiple choice. And
okay.
There's a new grand prize. Would you like to hear it?
Sure, yeah.
So if you answer 20 questions correctly, you will get the hardcover coffee table book celebrating Def Jam's 25th anniversary. You might already have
right.
that. I don't know if you have that already.
I do not have that. I'm looking at my bookshelf now. No, I do not have that one.
Okay, you'll get that. You'll get the 1995 quadraphonic stereo tour program that was given out at arena shows.
Okay.
And you will also get a Spalding handball signed by the King Ed Rock.
Oh my gosh, do you know that? Did you see my Spalding handball that I got signed at MCA Day?
No.
Oh, I will have to tweet you that picture.
So you have one.
I have a pink one that I got signed by Hurricane and Dante Ross.
Now, did Ad Rock sign your Spalding handball?
He was not at, no, this is at last year. This is that one. He was not there.
Okay.
But no, I bet I had that, and it was just by chance.
Okay, so this could complete your collection.
It could. I mean, I wanted him to bring a fresh one for him to sign if I ever saw him, but, you know.
And this Spalding handball is fresh.
Okay.
No scuffs on it or anything like that. So please, start up the music. Question one. Name the last studio album the Beastie Boys released.
Hot Sauce Committee Part 2.
You are correct. See?
Okay.
Very easy. Question number two. The cover photo from Paul's Boutique was taken in which U.S. city?
New York City.
You are correct. You're 2 for 2, Pat. And Pat's a big Mets fan, so you were probably thrilled to see a Dwight Gooden's jersey on the front of Paul's Boutique.
That is right. Yeah, that's definitely, that's actually like, I'm not even going to get into it. Yeah, I use that picture, that little crop of that picture a lot, though.
Question number three. What Beastie Boy portrayed Alessandro Allegri as the chief in the Sabotage music video?
That would be Mike D.
You are correct. We go on to question number four. Super Disco Breakin' is the opening track on what Beastie Boys album?
That would be Hello Nasty.
Hello Nasty. Pat Poon is 4 for 4. Question number five. In the music video Triple Trouble, who abducts the Beastie Boys and holds them captive in a cave?
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch is correct. And see, Pat, you got through the first five questions.
All right, that number five, though. All right, I'm not even going to give you any ideas of
you were afraid that you would go out on question number one, but we go on to question number six. And this is a new type of question. It's called behind or ahead of the curve. All right? So you have to answer if the Beastie Boys were behind the curve or ahead of the curve. High wire specialist Philippe Petit is referenced in a Beastie rhyme. The 2008 documentary Man on Wire, which documents Philippe Petit walking on a tightrope between the Twin Towers in New York City, wins the Academy Award for Best Documentary. Were the Beastie Boys behind or ahead of the curve?
Oh my God, those are like so close. I love that movie.
So Man on a Wire, 2008. Petit referenced in a Beastie rhyme. Is that a before or after 2008? But you have to answer the question, are the Beastie Boys behind or ahead of the curve?
It was before the documentary.
Final answer.
Yes.
You are correct. Philippe Petit is shouted out on The Vibes, and I believe that was released on the Sure Shot maxi single, which came out in 1995. So the Beastie Boys were way ahead of the curve on that one. We go on to question number seven. The Beastie Boys' stage backdrop for their Check Your Head tour was a picture of what?
Yeah, that's keeping it fat or whatever.
Stage backdrop had a picture of what?
Oh, is that the elephant on the couch?
Is that your answer?
Yeah, it's the Brooklyn Dust logo, the elephant on the...
Yes, the elephant getting stoned on the sofa was the backdrop of the Check Your Head tour. We go on to question number eight. Pat, people have gone out on question number seven. So there you go. You are ahead of the curve. Question number eight. On what Hello Nasty track is Hello Nasty actually mentioned? And you still have three chances for multiple choice. He's singing it. He's singing it. And he's a DJ. He has this in his crate.
putting shame in your game.
Final answer. Oh, the tension. You could
cut
it.
Shame in your game, you got. No, that's it. Final answer.
Pat, you are correct. Putting shame in your game. Question number 9. Another question about Hello Nasty. There's also a track on Hello Nasty describing the album's cover art, Packed Like Sardines in the Tin. On what track does this appear? And once again, he's a DJ. He has this in his crate.
Yeah.
Now, could you sing that line? Yeah, there you go. You've got the cadence down.
Yeah, I got the cadence down, so I'm just trying to match it up with what song that is.
And you still have your you still have 3 multiple choice left.
It's between that and Negotiation. Those are like 2 tracks that I'm thinking. It's gotta be.
A lot of those Hello Nasty tracks get confusing.
Yeah, they're definitely slept on.
Packed Like Sardines in the Tin. Do you know the lyrics after that? Because if you could connect all the lyrics, maybe you could get to the hook of the song and then get the answer. And the thing is, if you get this wrong, every time you spin it, I'll just see you wincing up there at the DJ booth, thinking, why did I get this answer when I was playing 20 questions on the brouhaha?
When it comes to
quarries,
I'm known to swim.
Ooh. He's piecing it together. I just want to sing along now, too.
Yeah, your MC skills would be good right now. yeah, see, because if I do a multiple choice, I know it's going to be one of these two, and I still...
You don't know that! Now, Pat Poon, is that your birth name?
That is. It's Patrick Poon. Yeah.
And it's also your DJ name?
I've played around with different DJ names, but at some point, I just used my government name.
Are you Pat Poon or DJ Pat Poon?
I usually don't use the DJ moniker. And I mean, like, if it needs to be identified, yeah, I'll use that.
Okay.
But.
All right. Sorry. Yeah, just keep thinking.
Yeah.
Just giving you a palate cleanser. Pack Like Sardines in the Tin. So kick off your shoes and put on the swim fins. Cause when it comes to chorus, I'm known to swim and add rock, light up the place. And if you pull my card, you pull the ace. And if you ask me, turn up the bass. And if you play Defender, I could be your hyperspace. I just sang the rest of the song for you.
I know you did.
Do you want multiple choice?
Sure.
Okay.
One.
A, Intergalactic. B, Body Movin'. C, Super Disco Breakin'. Or D, Unite. And it's a neat lyric because it might be one of the only lyrics where the album art is referenced.
All right, it's Body Movin'.
Final answer.
Final answer.
You are correct. It took us a while to get there, but you are right. MCA, where have you been? Packed Like Sardines in the Tin.
I was actually counting syllables to see if it was a limerick.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. Let's forget about that question. Let's go on to number 10. These are tough. There's usually one question like this on every 20 questions. Who is not shouted out on High Plains Drifter? Because as we know, Paul's Boutique is dense with shout-outs. So who is not shouted out on High Plains Drifter? Travis Bickle, Steve McQueen, Jack Kerouac, or Dirty Harry? Chew on that one.
Travis Bickle. The first one.
Is that your final answer?
You said Dirty Harry?
Travis Bickle, Steve McQueen, Bickle. Jack Kerouac, or Dirty Harry?
And this is only for one song.
One song, High Plains Drifter.
I'll say Jack Kerouac then.
final answer?
Yes.
Pat, you did well today. You answered 9 questions, and you also answered a 10th question. You are correct. Like my man Jack Kerouac, that doesn't happen for a couple of songs later. Is that 3-minute rule, maybe?
It is 3-minute.
Three-minute rule. Okay, yeah. High Plains Drifter, Travis Bickle, Steve McQueen, Dirty Harry, even Otis the Drunk is shouted out in that song. We go to number 11. This is called "Which Song Am I?" MCA plays basketball like a Jim Carrey movie character. A car cleaning product is shouted out, and Miss Piggy is parodied. What song am I?
I'm going to have to use one of those lifelines.
All right, so this will be your second one. A, Make Some Noise. B, Long Burn the Fire. C, To Check It Out. Or D, All Lifestyles.
Check It Out.
Okay, you want to go with that?
Yes, I'll go with that.
Final. To Check It Out is correct. We go on to question number 12.
Oh, man.
This is a true or false. Hey, were you a college radio DJ?
Not officially, but I've guessed it on there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So we'll see how you do on this question. True or false? On an alternate version of Alive, only released to college radio on vinyl, Ad-Rock's lyrics are slightly altered from the original. Created a monster with these rhymes I write, Limp Bizkit and Korn, please say goodnight. Is this true or false?
Wow.
Would the King Ed Rock put Limp Bizkit and Korn on blast like that? That's what you have to decide right now.
I'm gonna have to say false.
Final answer.
Yeah, let's end this misery. Let's see. What is it?
Pat, you are correct. It was false. There was never a version that name-checked Limp Bizkit or Korn.
Was there ever an alternate like version of that song?
No.
No, right? Yeah.
Just remixes.
Okay.
You know what? You're getting there. We're at question number 13. You're still in the game. You've got one more multiple choice option. Number 13, name the 3 songs in the Beastie canon that have the number 3 in their title.
Okay. Does it matter if it's the number 3 or the word?
Nope, yeah, number or word.
Spelled out, okay.
Yeah.
Well, 3 the hard way.
Okay.
In threes.
Okay. And because of what you do, this one should be pretty
fair. Oh, yeah, that's right. 3 MCs, 1 DJ.
You are correct.
My gosh. Yeah,
3 MCs really... and 1 DJ.
That was a gift.
We be getting down with no delay. All right, Pat Poon, right. What do you got to say? We go into question number 14. This one is called I Add Up the Mathematician. You have to add these 3 numbers. Are you ready? Are you good at math, Pat?
I'm okay, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Add the number in the punk club shouted out in Lee Majors Come Again with the number of the Troll sequel referenced in Long Burn the Fire, with the number of hours the Beastie Boys rode before they hit the spot in Paul Revere. Add them up and give me a number.
15 is my answer.
15 is your final answer? So what's the number of the punk club shout out in Lee Majors Come Again?
Well, that's A7.
Okay, taking it back to A7. The number of the Troll sequel referenced in Long Burn the Fire, you say...
Troll 2.
My style is iller than the goblins in Troll 2, and the number of hours the Beastie Boys rode before they hit the spot in Paul Revere.
Let me think about that one. I gotta sing those lyrics in my head.
How many is it? Right. So right now you're saying 15, but you didn't lock it in. You didn't say final.
Yeah, I'll final it. Yeah. Locked it in. 6 hours. Yeah, 6 hours till they hit the spot.
We rode for 6 hours, then we hit the spot. The beat was bumping and the girlies was hot. 15 is correct, and Pat, you march on to question number 15. Not doing so bad.
Yeah.
Made it to question 15. This is good. Prior to the Beastie Boys releasing Hot Sauce Committee Part 2, they shout out Hot Sauce in 2 Beastie Boys songs.
Oh.
Name them.
song.
And you have one more multiple choice left.
All right, yeah, sure. Let's do the multiple choice.
Okay, A, So What You Want in Triple Trouble. B,
Oh my God.
So
yeah,
What
okay.
You Want in Flow and Prose. C, So What You Want in Hey F You. And D, So What You Want in the New Style.
What was the other one? Triple Trouble and So What You Want.
So What You Want, Triple Trouble, So What You Want, Flow and Prose, So What You Want, Hey F.U., and So What You Want in the New Style.
I'll go So What You Want in A.F.U.
Final answer.
Yes.
Pat, somehow, you are pulling these out of your butt because you are correct. You go on to question number 16. However, you are all out of multiple choice.
I get it. I got it.
Slow and steady wins the race. Pat, you were not a rabbit in this game of 20 questions. You are
yeah,
the turtle.
I'm taking up too much time.
But you're still alive. Question number 16. Which of the following is not a song featured on Pollywog Stew? A, Jimmy. B, Michelle's Farm. C, Ode 2. Or D, I Want Some.
I Want Some.
Final. Pat, you go on to question number 17. Woo! All right. The Beastie Boys are kings of the N apostrophe. Body Movin', Boomin' Granny, Time for Livin', so on and so forth. So, on the Hello Nasty track, is it putting or putting an apostrophe shame in your game?
It's pudding with a G.
Pudding with a G. Are you sure about that?
I am sure.
Why are you so sure about that?
Because I was totally thinking about that one when we were doing that other track. Well, for that your question. So
you think it's putting shame in your game?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure.
Why didn't they put an apostrophe there?
I don't know. That is a good question.
They always put an apostrophe. So is that your final answer?
I've DJed this song way too many times to know that it doesn't have an apostrophe. Unless it's like one of the edits I make in my MP3 file. But I'm pretty sure.
Final. Putting?
I think the apostrophe N is always like sort of like the N syllable of like the track. I'm trying to drop some linguistic rationale here. No, I'll go with it's the full word. It's the full word. I'm seeing it on my laptop. I think my DJ laptop in my head right now.
Okay, good. It better be in your head. All right, so that's your final answer.
Yes.
All right, so here's the deal, Pat. Your rationale was not exactly correct. Boomin' Granny?
Oh yeah, that's
dope. Okay.
Oh, there is a G in Granny. Okay.
But you, believe it or not, are correct.
Okay.
That's
I'll
a question. It's
that
a question for the Beastie Gods. Why isn't it putting shame in your game? It doesn't make sense to me, but it's putting shame in your game. Whew. Question number 18. You are three away from winning a major prize here. What is the first song on B-Boy's Bouillabaisse? And you are all out of multiple choice.
Yeah.
First song on B-Boy's Bouillabaisse.
Girl over there, 57 Christmas Street. Oh, that's one of the stops on the tour last year. What was the address?
Ooh, first song.
It's definitely that song. It's definitely that song. Ah.
Oh man.
I'm gonna go out like this, huh?
He's a DJ, folks. His DJ skills have helped him out in this contest.
And more beats than titles, though.
Visualizing songs, looking at liner notes.
59 Christie Street.
Final answer.
Yes.
Pat, you are two away from answering the 20th question. 59 Christie Street is correct. The first song on B-Boy's Bouillabaisse. Question number 19. Name the three breakfast cereals shouted out in Pop Your Balloon.
Oh. Wow. All right.
And if you don't know it, I would just take a guess. Three tasty breakfast cereals shouted out in Pop Your Balloon.
Yeah. I've listened to that song maybe like twice.
What are you talking about? It's one of the greatest B-sides of all time.
It is a good song. It is a good song. I got it late though, and yeah.
You better be playing that the next time you play a fan celebration.
Oh no, that's on, definitely on the queue.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna, alright, Poppy Balloon, let's see. Let's go with Corn Pops, maybe.
Okay.
That'll be one. Fruity Pebbles.
Okay, Corn Pops, Fruity Pebbles.
Cocoa Puffs.
And Cocoa Puffs. Is that your
little
final?
Yes. That's
your final answer. Pat, you are incorrect. But
okay. Dang
it, you went to question number 19. You were afraid you were going to go out on question number one. The club and the Cap'n, a reference to Captain Crunch. And the Boo Berry, the Count Chocula, the sound that you love.
Oh,
we be getting fly with the highest above. Yeah, so it was Cap'n Crunch, Boo Berry, and Count Chocula. Damn good game of 20 questions, Pat.
It looked fun. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. I feel like maybe I could try this again if that's allowed.
No, yes. We have repeat guests.
If there's enough minutia out there to...
Oh, there's always enough minutia. So, Pat, thank you for joining us tonight. We will talk off the grid about our possible Beastie Boys tribute act. And like I said, well played tonight. 19 questions. You got to the 19th question, one away from winning the grand prize. So for Pat Poon, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later. That's it, that's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 though. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
They get your brouhaha.